City Talk.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Let's reflect on the Ryder Cup. No miracle this time. Some of the other headlines this morning. McIlroy forced to blink in battle of young gunslingers. Captain Clark fell well short of expectations. Europe's captain pays for blunders. Let's have a chat with Chris Jones, editor of Today's Golfer. We caught up with him before the Ryder Cup. Morning to you, Chris.
Morning.
Well, the one thing you can say was there was some exceptional golf on show over the last 3 days.
It was unbelievable, wasn't it? I mean, it's a game with which I'm not familiar. You know, the Phil Mickelson-Garcia match must go down as one of the best Ryder Cup matches in history. Mm. You know, Phil Mickelson, you know, Sergio Garcia was 9 under par, and he lost. Astonishing. Absolutely astonishing.
Yeah, it was blow for blow, wasn't it? And actually sort of mirroring that as well. And although Europe lost it, Rory McIlroy's fight with Patrick Reed was something to behold as well.
Again, it was a Ryder Cup matchup for the ages, and it was just fantastic. Blow for blow, gladiatorial. And, you know, it was absolutely incredible. And, you know, what an advert for golf, the whole event.
So no miracle for Europe this time. Probably to be expected?
I think so. I think I did mention it on Friday. I think, you know, it was almost... We've had the luck go our way for the last few Ryder Cups. We've held those crucial putts. We've made those big putts. And it was a long stretch, I think, to ask for it to carry on this year. And, yeah, the other thing is, the Americans played so well. They were so united. They were the most team-like I've ever seen them. Davis Love's a fantastic captain. He had some fantastic guys in his back room. You know, tough competitors. And they got everything right this year.
There will be an inquest into what went wrong for Europe, and there's a few fingers being pointed at the moment at Darren Clark. Did he put too much trust, too much emphasis on out of form or inexperienced players?
I don't think you can really level that much criticism, Darren. We could have done things differently. You know, Lee Westwood is a questionable pick, and it's slightly ironic, isn't it, that Lee's matches was the deciding match, and it was Lee that made a bogey that ultimately, you know, lost as a Ryder Cup. You'll get people saying he should have picked Russell Knox, he should have picked a more informed player. But you've got to remember he had 6 rookies on that team and he needed somebody with the experience of a Lee to sort of, you know, to help those rookies through it. I thought our rookies, you know, they didn't play particularly well. I think, you know, Danny Willey didn't have a great Ryder Cup, you know, on the back of what his brother had said. I think Matt Fitzpatrick missing in action, really. Chris Wood, fairly average. You know, I can't really remember too much of what those guys were doing. Brooks Koepka, on the other hand, the only American rookie, had a fantastic Ryder Cup.
And to add to that list you just gave then, Andy Sullivan couldn't seem to cope with what was in front of him.
Missing in action.
Yeah.
Again, so many of those guys kind of, you know, they just disappeared yesterday afternoon. And it's slightly unfortunate. Darren front-loaded his singles order, didn't he? So he got his big names out first to try and get those points on the board early. He didn't really have a lot of choice. He had 6 rookies, you know, half his team were rookies. McIlroy didn't deliver. Justin Rose didn't deliver. And they were the 2 fatal blows almost yesterday afternoon.
I mean, there was a couple that came out with their heads held high, not least Thomas Peters, who people questioned the pick at the time, but he was outstanding.
Absolutely brilliant, wasn't he? And Rafa Cabrera-Bello as well. I mean, those two guys were the standout guys for me of the European team. You know, in that pressure, in that cauldron, you know, they came and they delivered, and they delivered their point yesterday, which was you can't really ask for more. Thomas Peters got 4 points out of 5 for a rookie in American soil. That was astonishing.
There was one unbelievable. I mean, there was more than one unbelievable moment, but there was one that sort of sticks out to me, and that was the putt from Rory McIlroy, 55 foot, which of course after that moment yesterday, cupped his hands to his ears, and he seemed like he was feeding off the hatred that the crowd was giving him. Of course, Patrick Reed then matched it with an 18-foot putt. But that was just a sensational moment of sport.
That captured the whole thing for me, the whole atmosphere. And yeah, there were some nasty incidents with the crowd on Saturday. They seemed to get it together yesterday after a bit of a warning from the PGA. But just the combative nature of the whole event, I thought, was fantastic. And those guys holding putts on top of each other, you know, like I said earlier, it was astonishingly good golf.
Did the crowd go overboard, do you think? Not least with Rory. He seemed to have to put up with quite a bit. Not least sort of mentions of ex-girlfriends and, you know, some stuff which was quite offensive.
I think they did go overboard, yeah, which is why the PGA of America had to put out a warning yesterday morning to say that if anyone is caught or if anyone is heard shouting anything, you're going to be ejected from the grounds immediately. And it seemed to work. I think the crowd policed themselves yesterday. There weren't as many incidents. But, you know, you've got to remember, you know, the Americans haven't won these, you know, they've won so few Ryder Cups in the last few years. They were on the cusp of doing it. You know, as the beer was flowing, you know, the sun was shining. It's an American sports crowd.
Yeah, that's what they do. Let's listen to Ryan Moore for just a second. Moore, of course, sealing the Ryder Cup with the winning putt.
Man, I was just out there trying my hardest, trying to, you know, not let my team down. Just, you know, at least play some respectable golf those last few holes. Just hit a couple good shots and at least, you know, make Lee have to do something to beat me. And, you know, hit a couple great shots there on 16. Had a great eagle opportunity I was able to knock in. And then, you know, to birdie 17. Right after that, I mean, it was just, I have no words right now. This is, it's been incredible to be where I was a week ago to then, you know, clinch the last point for the Ryder Cup this year for the U.S. is, it's unbelievable.
It must be amazing to be the player that clinches the cup.
And he was the pick as well. You know, he was the last man in, wasn't he? He's had a fantastic few weeks to earn his place on that team, rightly so. And to do it in such style. And not only that, you know, he was two down with 3-4 to play. Mm. You know, he finished phenomenally well and paid Davis Love back, you know, the greatest compliment.
If I was going to pick out a couple of the Americans, I thought Phil Mickelson was outstanding, as perhaps you would expect. Patrick Reed as well. Anyone else for you?
I think Jordan Spieth could have, you know, went missing a bit. Brooks Koepka, as I've just mentioned, I thought he was fantastic. Dustin Johnson, yeah, I think he had a fairly good Ryder Cup. But you're right, I mean, Patrick Reed was the talisman, wasn't he? We tweeted over the weekend, he's as close as I've ever seen to an American Ian Poulter. You know, you cut the guy open, he's got a Ryder Cup running through his veins. And, you know, that's going to give him so much confidence now next year going into the majors. You know, he's going to be contending in those. Strange fact, he's never had a top 10 in a major championship and get a perform like that at a Ryder Cup.
As you say, comparisons to Ian Poulter and Rory, certainly you could draw one of those from the past few days. But was there enough of that sort of Poulter-esque spirit within the European side?
Probably not. But I think Ian Poulter's almost unique, isn't he? He brought that. I mean, Rory obviously was giving it the fist pumps and the team fed off that. But you know what? I just don't think we hold the putts. We didn't hold the putts to justify many of those reactions. And you mentioned Rory's 50-footer, and that garnered a reaction when he was cupping his ears. But we didn't have enough of those moments. And ultimately, that's why we lost, because we didn't hold those big putts.
There was a moment at the end of day two where Westwood missed a putt, and that sort of summed it up to me. A putt that would have meant an awful lot to Europe at the very end of the day. And when you've got a big gun like that who simply can't deliver, I felt a little bit flat by it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it was a 2-foot putt, wasn't it? I mean, even I could hold that, possibly. But he didn't really deliver, did he? And I think that's one area where Darren over the next few days will be probably criticised and will do a bit of soul searching and think, would I have been better picking a Russell Knox, for instance, instead of his old mate? But he did need that experience, and you know, there was no one more experienced than Lee. But it's a fantastic end to it. You know, it's probably going to be Lee's last Ryder Cup. It's probably going to be Phil's last Ryder Cup when you look at it, and what a way to go out.
Chris, how much will the players be hurting, the European team, by this?
I think they'll be hurting a lot this morning. I think there was a lot of you know, we were favourites going into it, weren't we? You know, and we've kind of got used to winning it. But you know what? I think in hindsight, when they look back at it, I think they'll go, we just got beaten by a better team. We got beaten by a more galvanised American team, a more passionate American team, and who played better golf, you know, when it really mattered. And in the singles, it really mattered. And they hold the putts. They made the chip-ins. You know, Patrick Reed, how many times did he chip in? 2, 3, 4 times. You know, he drove the green on the par. I think it was the third yesterday, the third or fourth. Drove the green and made eagle on top of Rory's birdie. When you're playing against that kind of player, it's very, very hard to beat them.
So the question now will be, who leads Europe in France in 2018? That's the next destination. Le Golf National is the venue, isn't it? Who's going to be in the frame? Is it the likes of Padraig Harrington? Is he in there? Thomas Bjorn?
There's a few contenders. I mean, we did a poll on Twitter a couple of weeks ago asking who the captain should be, and our audience said it should be Miguel Jimenez. I'm not sure about that. I just don't know if he's got the kind of the media savviness and the, you know, I'm just not quite sure. But I think Padraig would be a good shout. I mean, it's his time. He's going to be around 48, 49, 50. And obviously, he's obviously there this week as well. Thomas is another one. Very good shout. Probably a bit too early for Lee, but, you know, the European Tour might go actually well. Lee's probably not going to play in any more Ryder Cups. Let's get him in early.
Maybe McGinley. Maybe he might be in with the pick.
Again, there's a kind of... The European Tour doesn't tend to give people a second chance anymore. They mentioned it on Sky last night. You know, Darren had his one shot and unfortunately came up short. We don't really need the task force-style approach that Americans have adopted this year. Bringing Davis Love back after what he did at Medina, I think we're in a much better place than that. I think McGinley's had his time, phenomenally successful. I can see Harrington doing it in France.
Padraig Harrington. Thank you very much for your time this morning, Chris.
Thank you.
Chris Jones, editor of Today's Golfer.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.